Some days I feel like a natural woman, but some days I feel like a victim of this wicked system.
I'll be honest with you. I hate war. In all its forms. Physical, psychological, spiritual, emotional, environmental. I hate war. And I hate having to struggle. I honestly do, because I wish I had been born into a world where it was unnecessary. This context of struggle and being a warrior and being a struggler has been forced on me by oppression. Otherwise, I would be a sculptor or a gardener, a carpenter. You know, I would be free to do so much more.
Some days, I want to charge through the supermarket in tribal war paint, pushing a shopping cart full of Molotov cocktails and destroy all the poison that is killing us on every aisle, then move on to the drugstores and fast food drive-thrus, throwing cocktail hook shots in the middle of their big meal deals. Then again, some days I want to meditate, reach a state of bliss, kiss my cares goodbye, and lie on my mat until I lose touch with this ungodly world.
Wow.
Yeah. When I heard that end, I re-listened to the song about 3 times just because the end is so good every time. You never know where it's going.
Really good. Really good stuff. Yeah.
That was Asian Dub Foundation featuring Asata Shakur with the track Reluctant Warrior on the compilation Black and Proud Volume 2, The Soul of the Black Panther Era. And you are listening to Uprise Radio with Koshin and Zan.
Hello.
The topic for today's episode is, I'm realizing we're on a bit of a Trump theme.
Mm.
We're going back to Trump, and this time Albanese's involvement with Trump with the big meeting they had this week over critical minerals.
Yep. Albanese's back in the US. I think he's back now, but he went back for his return tour. What happened? He had to make some kind of emergency landing.
Yeah, there was a really quite dramatic yet unexplained pit stop they said they had to make around someone having a head injury. They said there was an unscheduled landing in St. Louis following a mid-air incident involving an RAAF member knocking their head.
Yeah. I'd love to know more details.
Sus,
on
anyone?
That. Very interesting. Very interesting. I don't know if we'll ever get to the bottom of that. I think that one might get swept under the rug. It might be too embarrassing, but I'd love to know. I'd love to know.
Maybe they just weren't quite ready to come home yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Like encore round.
Yeah, it's got that. It's a country with some beautiful national parks. Maybe they just wanted to drop in. Check it out. Check out Yosemite.
Yeah, and maybe check out some critical minerals.
Yes, yeah. The critical mineral deal of the century. That's what they're calling it.
Yeah, and considering it's meant to be the deal of the century, it is hilarious, as always, to note how ambiguous and confusing the deal actually is and what any of it actually means, which is what we're going to try unpack together.
Yeah. They really need to just start. I don't know. I think they've released everything that they agreed on, but they really need to start agreeing on some very concrete things. It's not a good sign when people explaining the deal have to keep saying that none of this is legally binding, none of this is guaranteed. It's a deal. It's an agreement to agree to something later. At the moment, I think.
Yeah, it's going off vibes.
Mm. But yeah, so we should get into it. Albanese and Trump have inked a big deal meant specifically to counter China's dominance of the rare earth mineral supply chain in the ever-growing trade war between the US and China. China is threatening to put limitations on their export of rare earth minerals, which are very important to not only consumer items, but military items, which the US is obviously very fragile about, and also shows the confusing mess of our globalized economy with a new Cold War where the US is gearing up to fight China, but in order to fight China, they need to buy rare earths from China to make their missiles. It's not as simple as the good old days. It is a very complex web.
Yeah, there's something really beautiful and strange about how desperately interdependent and interconnected we all are. And then when people are trying to engage in like a supply chain and warfare and still desperately needing the other people and not being able to do it without them. And the idea that they can do it, that we can all be in our small little silos and have our fortified borders and not be interdependent upon each other is kind of ridiculous from an ecological perspective, from like a spiritual perspective, but
yeah, no, unless. Yeah. And I think the idea of all of these complicated supply chains in a globalized capitalist world is that it would limit conflict, that why would anyone fight if they're all dependent on each other? But obviously that is not true. Doesn't really hold true.
I think it would be true if, like, all, like, when I just think of ecosystems, there is no way that any healthy ecosystem can exist without all of these interdependent factors. Like, for some reason, I'm thinking a lot right now of the orange-bellied parrot, which is going extinct, and there's a lot of stuff around how to help its habitat in one place. But it's not just the habitat in one area that matters, it's the habitat where it also migrates from, and it's also the fire season and what that does to the soil, and the fact that, like, people think that you can just have this one little silo and then the parrot doesn't need to rely on anything else is ridiculous. But somehow we think that we're different from other animals and that we don't actually rely on ecosystems. We're just in our little corners. And we can put up big walls and not have to talk to anyone.
The approach to ecology, that sort of thing, is so interesting. It's almost like they're trying to make suburbs for animals. They want animals to live in one little area and then they can deliver all of the all of their other needs. And this really does tie into the environment. Part of this deal, these rare earths, they encompass a lot of different elements. I don't know. I don't have off the top of my head. I think it's 17 or so. One of them is aluminium, as an example, as a zoom in on what this deal will look like, there's an aluminium mine in Western Australia, in a forest in Western Australia, where, because rare earth minerals aren't very rare, but they are very spread out. They're not in concentrated veins like coal or gold. So you need to mine large areas, and there's a good source of aluminium underneath a forest in Western Australia. And in order to get that aluminium, you have to come through and clear sections of the forest. And a deal like this to put a massive investment into that mine would mean expanding the clearing of this forest. So there's a direct link to ecological damage and the pursuit of the mining of rare earths. It ties into Labor's whole approach, their new abundance agenda of cutting the green tape, cutting environmental regulation. I'm sure that will be less and less of a problem for them moving forward with this deal. I'm sure now that they want to expand these mines, they will be expanded.
Yeah, the way that it's been framed is really cunning. The fact that so much of it is being framed in terms of critical minerals being necessary for the green transition, but also for defense and security, and also for like advanced manufacturing. And there is no transparency around what hierarchy is created around whether these minerals are going to be used for the supposed green transition or whether they're going to be used for defense. And so if there is a mineral that is used for both, how is the public meant to know whether this is being mined literally for defense purposes to make weapons, given the United States and the military arm that it has is one of the biggest polluters on this planet, while also it's being under the guise of for the green transition. And that, like, and even the term critical mineral is entirely subjective, and it's created, like in the case of the UK, it's a bit different in Australia around transparency, but in the UK there are a group of people that help decide around what the critical mineral list is going to be. And there's certain people in that group, such as the ADS group, which weapons manufacturing companies are in that group. And so the way those definitions are even being formed is so far beyond what you might think when you think of critical minerals and green transition.
It's very opaque. It's obvious that defense is going to be prioritized in all of this. Maybe we should talk about China and Taiwan in all of this as well. This mineral deal really touches on a lot of things. It's really it really goes to the heart of this whole trade war that's going on between the US and China. we have really firmly inserted ourselves into the middle. And yeah, it just happens to touch on many things like Taiwan's dominance of the semiconductor supply chain, which actually...
the audience might need some backstory, yeah. Which you are maybe very ready to give.
Yeah, to give a quick overview, Taiwan happens to be basically the nexus of the entire global supply chain of semiconductors, which go into all of our advanced consumer items, all of our phones, but also military items. Anything that's using an advanced computer today, these semiconductors vital to this to this technology. And Taiwan is the it is and Taiwan and specifically one company in Taiwan, the Taiwanese Semiconductor Manufacturing Company. They control something like 80% of advanced semiconductors. And now with this trade war, China is flexing the fact that it controls the export of those rare earths. And Taiwan now is having to look for alternatives to make sure that they have access to rare earths to keep producing these semiconductors. Australia stepping in is the idea is that we would then, you know, we'll fill in the gap, which
is wild because it's the it just seems like ongoing colonial extractivism to be like, we've got all of these resources and untapped potential that we can just dig up land and continue to do what we've done for decades. And yeah, the fear that like native title, what that can even do to stop something like this, and the fact that it's going under a green transition is so sinister.
I think it also shows the, you know, what we were talking about. We've been talking about the sort of these lines that are being drawn between these imperial blocks, between, you know, this kind of really picking a side in Cold War between China and America. This goes to that, I think, in a big way.
And it's interesting in how volatile it seems. I remember like just a few months ago, our sovereign wealth fund made a statement. It was Greg Combat was talking about how the future fund was looking at distancing from US investments, given how risky and uncertain the US was as an investment opportunity. And yet then months later, the relationship has now changed into like tightening relationships. And it seems so, yeah, the relationships feel like they change so fast, and yet with every kind of deal that's signed, there's this idea of certainty that we're going to be sticking this out with each other for a while.
I don't know. Also, I think it's frustrating seeing all of these labor people, the labor orbit, all really celebrating Albanese and Trump getting along so well, when you know that they're all, you know, politically very critical of Trump for obvious reasons. But then as soon as it's, you know, politically advantageous, it's like, oh, actually, it's great.
Yeah.
It's great to get Trump to like you and for Trump to tap you on the shoulder and say nice things about you. And it's actually very bad when Trump criticizes you when he's criticizing Kevin Rudd. That's bad. But yeah, I think, I don't know, I don't think it would be the end of the world for us to just firmly say, actually, this guy's crazy. It's, you know, this is like an acceleration of, you know, an already violent empire that Trump is really the manifestation of a new era of American domination, and it's actually we don't want to be a part of that.
Well, what's wild is that Trump was the person to transparently say to Rudd, I don't like you and I never will.
Yeah,
that is just a beautiful clarity. There's no there's no posturing there.
yeah it's very honest. Yeah. That also, I really think if I was in the Labour party, if I was in the federal government, I would be...
That's how we should start every episode. If I was in Labour Party...
It's going to be a hypothetical alternative government show. No, I really think they should dismantle Sky News. Sky News asked a question to Trump about, you know, what do you think about the fact that the ambassador said bad things about you or whatever? I mean, really setting up that scenario to play out. And I think, I don't know why they're tolerated as an institution, like the Murdoch media apparatus. Like, it's just...
it's gossip circles.
Bad for... Even if you're trying to run things as a, you know, a center-left neoliberal project, it seems bad for that even, to have this media empire that's just out of control and has its own interests.
That's why Trump created his own platform of truth. Yeah. To sidestep all of that.
I've never checked out Truth Social. I'm really, I'm curious about it. I'd love to see what it's like.
Yeah, I hope that I make it to the end of my beautiful life without having to interface with that. Yeah.
Having never typed in truthsocial.com on my computer. Yeah.
I mean, I guess this whole thing, talking of like relationship posturing, the way that so much of the messaging around this has been about trying to get China... There was one phrasing in a media publication around loosening China's grip around critical supplies. It feels that a lot of this is also around public visible posturing about a particular joint stance against China, and that this almost just feels like a huge media stunt to try demonstrate how the US and so-called Australia now feels about China.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Which...
And they had to bring goddamn minerals into it.
I mean, talking about Taiwan having 80% of the advanced semiconductor manufacturing coming out of one small place, it's... no one's writing articles about Taiwan's secret nefarious plan to corner the market on semiconductors. I mean, that's just good business when they do it. But yeah, if China builds the capability to refine 80% of the rare earths in the world, suddenly that's a big plot against the West. That's some kind of big conspiracy.
I guess if like a colonial imperial core does it, it's not threatening. But if anyone else does it, then it's a threat.
Yeah. No, I think it's, it seems transparent to me that they are, they're trying to draw the lines for, something that we should all hope doesn't come to play. A real conflict would be just bad for pretty much, you can come up with anything, anything in your world, it's bad for that. Any animal, we were talking about parrots, it would be bad for them. It would be bad for, really, I mean, it. All forces should be focused on making sure that there is no conflict, no global conflict. It would just, yeah.
Well, I think what is interesting is that a lot of these minerals used to be called conflict minerals, and they've now been renamed critical minerals because when they're talked about as conflict minerals, it's very clear that the processes used to extract them out of the earth and the supply chain that's created around them is often really brutal and involves a lot of human rights abuses. Like there's in the DRC, there's the case of the DRC trying to sue Apple, and yet now there's this nice rename towards critical minerals, which I think removes a lot of that history of how harmful resource extractivism can be.
I think that encapsulates the whole thing. I think that wraps it up in a nice little bow.
Oh no, but I didn't have a pun. I was going to have a mineral geology pun.
We had some geology buns, puns. We'll brainstorm. We'll come up with something for next step. Did you have a song to play us out?
Don't take it for granted.
That's pretty good. Yeah. All right. Banger.
That was the first thing that came up on the internet. And going out, this song will rock your world. That gets me at 2, so I can sleep at night, finally. This is another song by Asian Dub Foundation that I have been loving, called Rebel Warrior.
All right, see you next time.
Bye.
Sowing the seeds of community. accommodating.